Then my topic tonight is on unforgiveness. But that's what y'all need. Verses 14 and 15. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Father, we pray that you'd give us the liberty to preach, not for reputation, but Father, that the word might go out in all of its clarity, its power, and we'll be careful to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Don't you just love the topic of unforgiveness? As a young man, even a young married man, I didn't go gaga on forgiveness. I mean, if I got mad, I wanted to stay mad for a couple of days, two or three days, to get my money's worth. So who does that in your family? Now, be honest. You just kiss and make up right away. Are you the Swinglers or what? I had to get that in. And you're next, Robert. Yeah. I thought I was the king of cut, and this guy laid me so low, you know, I could go out under that door standing up. But be real honest about it for just a moment. Usually one or the other is quicker to forgive. I'm trying to look this way and not that way. But isn't that, I'm not asking you to incriminate yourself, but usually it's one or the other that is quicker to say I'm sorry or to say forgive me or whatever. Ever had somebody wrong you? You haven't? Then I need to smoke what you're smoking or something, because and you say, I just don't feel like forgiving. Yeah. And maybe you say, well, I can forgive, but I can't forget. Well, then maybe you haven't forgiven. Well, forgiveness isn't a feeling, it's a choice. If you wait until you feel like forgiving, you're not. It's not a feeling, it's a choice. You determine, you decide whether you're going to or not. You know, there's so many things like that. Have you ever said somebody, so-and-so really made me mad? No, they didn't make you mad. You chose to get mad. You chose to let them get under your skin. Robert, for instance. I'll get over it. I mean, before the end of the night. But it's a feeling. Jesus' words aren't kicked around very much anymore. Where he says, you forgive others, I'll forgive you. You don't forgive others, then how can I forgive you? There's several of those words of Jesus that we kind of just hurry on by, move on by them. Forgiveness is a spiritual thing. And to be real honest with you, that's probably why we don't practice it as much as we do or as much as we should. Because forgiveness goes against our flesh. Is that a fair statement? I mean, it violates our flesh, and we want to get mad. We want to do this and that. But forgiveness seems like surrender. It seems like you're less of a person. It seems like because it winds up being a physical thing rather than a spiritual thing. Now, I know this passage, and we've all read what Jesus said from the cross. Father, forgive them, you know. You remember Stephen being stoned. Now, I don't know if I could be there and guys throwing big old rocks at me and me going down and my last words in that is recorded in the book of Acts somewhere here where Stephen is being stoned. They cast him out of the city and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul, later on to be the great apostle Paul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, it was something to be in the hand of God and abiding by the will of God. I don't know that Stephen felt the stones. I mean, they were being thrown with all their might at him. Their intention was to kill him. But he had his eyes on the Lord. And God certainly delivered him. But forgiveness is an interesting thing because it's not just so much the person that I forgive, it's what it does for me and what it does for you. It lifts that burden off of us. Do you realize how many people go around year after year after year with an unforgiving spirit? And they can tell you, they couldn't sing the first note of Jesus Loves Me, but they can tell you how 30-something years ago, Dean offended me, and I just can't forgive him for that, you know. You know, we just can't turn loose of it and get over it. But this matter of forgiveness comes hard for us sometimes. And who do you think does that? The old devil himself. He's the one that drags it up and reminds you and this and that. And so sometimes we give into that. And some people have gone years, and I say that years, not being able to forgive and really just drying up in themselves. You know, the Bible says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but bitterness dries the bones. In other words, it sucks the marrow out of it. It tires you. It wears you out. Doesn't have anything to do with the other person. It has to do with you, and it has to do with the Lord. Well, some people live under chastisement because of that. The Lord does everything he can to get their attention, to get their attention. Every passage, verses remind us about how Christ forgave us, and we wallow in that. We want to get that all over us. But when it comes to forgiving somebody else, we don't not necessarily mimic our Savior. So, one of the areas I think that we miss the mark on, we think that if we forgive somebody, that we've condoned the wrong. It's not it at all. The wrong is still wrong, right is still right. And when we forgive somebody, it's not condoning what was done. It's reaching a higher plane, a higher level. Forgiveness is really between me and the Lord. What the other person does or doesn't do You know, I remember one time when Joan got in a fight when we were in high school. And, she told her class about it, too. I was proud. But, I mean, it was a doozy. They were pulling hair and everything. It was a real deal. But the thing of it is, Joan realized that she was a Christian and the other girl wasn't. And she went up to her and apologized and asked her to forgive her as a Christian the way that she'd acted. And the other girl just laughed and made fun of it. Now, it's a tough thing when you extend an apology, when you extend forgiveness to somebody. It's not been many occasions, but there's been times that I know it's hard for you to believe that I would ever tick off somebody or whatever, but on the one or two times that I have, you know, have you ever gone to shake hands with somebody and they just look at you like that? With me, my hand gets so big I could palm a basketball with that thing. What do I do with this? Put it behind my back or whatever? That rejection we don't handle real well until you realize I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for the Lord. And that person has to answer for their own sin. I have to answer to the Lord for an unforgiving heart, and they have to answer to the Lord for not receiving that. Romans 14:4 says, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be held up, for God is able to make him stand." Now, be honest, a lot of times we judge another man's servant. It's the Lord that they'll answer to. I was talking to one of my grandchildren that had been maligned, offended, so on and so forth. And to be real honest with you, he was a whole lot better than his grandfather. He took the high road. He didn't get down there and slug it out. And this last week, we found out that the Lord fought his battle. And the Lord took care of it because he had taken the high road, the Jesus road. And what a blessing that was and what an example it was to me. Well, the Bible says in 1 Peter, the second chapter, beginning in verse 21, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you're healed." Christ is to be our example. And how he could, on the cross, Father, forgive them, you know, then what an example to me that maybe had my little feelings hurt, maybe had my little pride stepped on, whatever, to not be able to forgive. Well, here's a few facts to consider on forgiveness. One, I think we're to forgive others because we're sinners ourselves. Let that soak in just a minute. When we think we stand, take heed lest you fall. If you say, well, I will never do that, well, you probably will. You know. And to realize that we're all sinners, saved by grace, those of us who are. And how we respond. Somebody said, it's not that the world is rejecting Christianity. It's that they've never seen it in me and possibly in you. So to realize that we're sinners, we're all sinners. And man has that fallen nature. And we can choose. Every day I get up, I can choose whether I'm going to walk in the flesh or walk in the spirit. Sometimes several times a day. You know, it's a choice, like forgiveness is. Well, two, we forgive over and over and over again. Why? Because that's what Jesus did for us. I don't know about you, but I love 1 John 1:9. That if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love that. But we're to forgive over and over and over like the Lord does us. I like what Peter says. Peter always puts it down on the line. He's, you know, the guy made some mistakes. But he asked the real questions. He didn't tiptoe around. He said, Lord, okay, how many times then should we forgive? Seven times? Seven times seven? How about 70 times seven? Or just keep on keeping on forgiving. Unlimited forgiveness. That's what He's done for me. Well, thirdly, instead of judging, try forgiving. Instead of judging, which we're fairly quick to do, try forgiving. Luke 6, 37 and 38 says, I'm in the wrong church, right church, wrong pew. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. How about you getting the same grace that you give to others? How about you getting the same forgiveness that you've given to others? He's got it all laid out here. Well, instead of judging, we're to try forgiving. Forgive them no matter what they've done. You know, no matter what they've done. I'd like, if I had a dollar for every time I heard this, Neil, JK, that somebody, we'd get into a situation like this, we'd be talking about. And I don't know how many times I've heard, but you don't know how bad they've hurt me. You know, like if I knew how bad they hurt you, I'd be on your side and we'd crucify them, whoever they were. But that's a standard deal. You don't know how bad I've been hurt. Red and I were talking earlier about the movie called Shaq. And I've got to see it sometime, but where this child had been killed, and he's mad at God, and God says, okay, you're going to be God for a day. You make the decisions. You know, who goes to hell, who doesn't. You know, who's punished, who isn't. You make those decisions. We can't do it. We're not capable. He is just and righteous. Stephen is an example there of forgiving no matter what they've done. And they were taking him out. Their intent was to take him out. It wasn't like he was killed in an accident. They were bent on destroying him. And they were for the gospel's sake. When he shared the gospel with them, they just stopped their ears up. It's amazing how people react to the gospel. My aunt was an elementary teacher for 47 years, was a principal, elementary principal. 47 years she put up with those precious little darlings. You know. But she told me some stories, and she didn't have any deep theological background. But there is a cult when during Christmas they would sing about Jesus and his love and so on and so forth. Their children were taught to cover their ears and make a sound like la, 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 to just block out the name of Jesus. You know, there's people today that block out. And I'm not throwing stones, but sometimes, you know, you throw a gold nugget out there, something that's really good, and you wonder, do people get it? You know, I know we're home folks tonight, but Dave and I were talking the other day, and you make it real clear. I'm talking, make it clear to the lost person how to be saved. You make it clear about them identifying with Christ. And you talk to the Christian about planting their life in the life of the church. And sometimes we'll give them a double whammy. Dave will tell them first thing, and I'll tell them the last thing. And inevitably, somebody will come and say, how do we become a part of the church? Well, the first thing to do is listen. You know. But sometimes the devil blinds our eyes and closes our ears, you know, and keeps us from hearing what we need to hear. Well, we'd like to think of forgiveness as an option, you know, like multiple choice. The only thing I loved better than multiple choice in school was true or false. I mean, you got a 50% chance on one, and you got it's a little bit lower on the multiple choice. But, you know, a lot of people treat God's word like that. It's not multiple choice, and it's not true or false. It's true. And so when Jesus commands us to forgive, it's not a suggestion. It's a command. And he says, and Luke records in the 17th chapter, verse 3 through 5, take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto him, Lord, increase our faith. In other words, they didn't have it within themselves to extend that. It had to come from the Lord. And forgiveness has to come from the Lord. So it's not an option. It's a command. You ever had a problem with forgiveness? Let me tell you something. It's a stumbling block in our lives. I'm standing before you and I'm standing right behind his sacred desk, so I'm going to certainly tell the truth about this, is sometimes God reveals something to me in the Word of God, but it's not exactly to my pleasing. And I try to go around it. You know, because really it's there for a reason, a purpose. It's there for you, but not for me. You know, and so we try to skirt it around us. But you know what I've found is when God reveals something to me, if I accept it and yield to it, I can go on and grow. But if I don't, whatever this is, I'm just hitting the ceiling there. I'm not breaking through. I'm not going on. Because I've refused to yield to what he's already spoken to me about, convicting me of. And forgiveness, I'm just saying tonight that if you have an unforgiving spirit, unforgiving nature, you're not going to grow beyond that. You've got to deal with that. And if you can't deal with it, you'll be continually hitting that ceiling and never going on to the things, you know, that Jesus desires for us. I like what he said. Now, it was in relationship to giving, but it's giving a lot of things. He said, if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, how shall he give you that which is your own? In other words, if you can't forgive, how can he give you that forgiveness? If you're here tonight and you don't know him as Savior, to just realize, if I were to die today, do I know without a shadow of a doubt that I'd be with Jesus? Because salvation is not hope so, maybe so, could be so. It's a no-so salvation. And if you don't know so, tonight's the night to settle that. To agree with God. You're a sinner. You are a sinner. Face it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're not saved, be saved tonight. We'll pray with you. We'll encourage you. If you're here and you're saved and not identified, don't put it off. It's not believer's baptism, it's baptism, period. Following him as a believer in scriptural baptism. And maybe you're here, saved, identified, you're in church, but you're not of the church. And God's leading you to plant your life. Whatever it is, let's make it for his glory. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the tough topics that you give us, that we try to skirt around sometimes and try to avoid pondering in our heart. And Father, tonight we want our hearts open before you. And Father, all that's sin in our life, we agree with you that it's sin. And if that unforgiving spirit is part of that, Father, tonight may we let go of it. That we let go, that we let God. We have the weight, the burden lifted. And we walk in his spirit and not in our flesh. And Lord, we'll thank you in Jesus' name.